And all of you who share singing, we worship. I want us to just think about, and I want to bless you. We have a lady who plays our piano. Things are not always going well with her. Her eyes are not doing real well. You need to appreciate what Shirley does, because she always had, but it's getting more difficult. And so I want to take a moment and just pray for her. And would you join me? That God would touch her and maybe open her, heal her eyes. And I don't know what he's going to do, but she's been on my mind, and I appreciate the ministry that God's given her. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty love and grace. Thank you for the people that you put in our lives. Thank you for Shirla. Lord, she loves you. She serves you faithfully, even when there's difficulties. God, today, would you reach down and just touch her eyes? We know you're sovereign, Lord, and we believe you're the one who's in charge, but we commit her afresh to your care today. And thank you for the ministry that you've given her. Keep using her, Lord, for the glory of the Lord. But would your hand be evident even in her physical care? Thank you for your presence today in Jesus' name. Amen. I know you join me in that prayer, so we'll trust the Lord as he works in that, however he does that. Walt talked about today's title, Celebrate Jesus' Death for Us. If you're thinking about it, what I did last week, we celebrate the fact that he came to earth and what that meant. Today we celebrate the crucifixion. Next Sunday we celebrate resurrection. So that's what I intended to do the last two Sunday, this Sunday and next Sunday. Celebrate his coming, celebrate his crucifixion, and celebrate the resurrection. That all goes together. We celebrate, you know, we like the resurrection, but there had to be a death before there could be a resurrection. And so we need to understand that. So if you get your outline out, and we'll follow along in that as we celebrate Jesus' death for us. So Walt mentioned it, and I agree. The world in general don't see death and celebration. They just don't seem to go together. And yet, in Christ it does. And in reality, for the believer in Jesus, is not death also celebration? You can leave this world, body, that's true, but when you leave this world and you're a child of God, where are you going? You're going to go to celebrate to heaven, be with God in heaven. So it is celebration. In fact, if you notice, the services that we do for people who passed away, the title that I put on them are Celebration of Life Service. Because of the death of Jesus, we celebrate life. So let's think about that. As we think about Jesus' death for us. First thing on your notes, if you're writing them in, is Jesus died voluntarily. Jesus died voluntarily. The reason I bring it up is often in the discussion and in the pictures of the crucifixion, they do show the soldiers who beat him and the Sanhedrin and all the others who criticized him and put crown of thorns on his head. And if you've ever seen, how many have ever seen The Passion? Many of you have. It's hard to understand how he'd do all that. But you need to recognize that Jesus did all of that by choice. The soldiers didn't force him. The Jewish leaders didn't force him. They carried it out, but they didn't force him. Because he said on one occasion, if I choose, I could call a legion of angels, and they would deliver me. I believe with all my heart, all Jesus had to do was say, I'm through, come and get me. And the Father could have sent that. But he said he didn't do that. Why did he do that? Why did he volunteer? Why did he choose? There's a lot of reasons, I suppose. But I would suggest the number one reason he chose is because he loved you and I enough to do what he had to do to make us right for the Holy God. He knew that the only hope we would ever have is for him to do what he did on the cross for us. So he chose to do so. I think I mentioned it not too long ago, but And I don't know that this took place in heaven. It just kind of my thinking, I guess. Sometimes I'm weird, I guess. But I wonder if in heaven the Father said, I need somebody to pay the price for the sins of all these people. And I need some way to bring back all the humanity who's gone against me back to myself. And I don't know whether he did or not, but I think Jesus might have said, I'll do it. That's not in Scripture. That's just my thinking. Because he chose to do it. The verse that's on your note says, just for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down of my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down and have authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father. And that's what he said. Nobody's taken it away. I choose. You remember in his trial, the pilot said to him, don't you know I have authority to let you go or not? What did he tell him? You don't have any authority unless the Father gives it to you. So I hope today as you think about the crucifixion, I hope in your soul you can say, thank you, Jesus, for volunteering to go to the cross, knowing what it was going to mean. Jesus went to the cross, I believe, knowing everything was going to happen. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew all the beating, all that, but he also knew what it was going to be like for his Father to leave him, at least to feel like his Father left him. And for him to understand and experience the fact that all wrong and sin and evil from Adam until the end of this time would pile in one place and one person in one time had to be awesome and awful. The beatings that you see in the Passion of the Christ and those things were terrible. They were very cruel, I understand that. But in my mind, I still can't comprehend what it was like for Jesus, who was pure white Son of God, who had never sinned at all. That Holy One, for all the stuff, the disobedience, the sin, the adultery, the beatings, infidelity, all the other stuff, all the cruel stuff you can read about, was going to collect into one place at one time in his own body. Folks, to me, that was more cruel, more painful than the beatings themselves. So if you can compare the two, that's what he did. I think he knew what was going to happen when he did it. But he said, I'm going to do it anyway, because I love you. Folks, I think that's important to remember. Jesus says to each of us, here's how much I love you. Here's how much I want you to know me. And I'm going to go to the cross so you can know me. You can know my Father and you can be forgiven. So thank you, Jesus, for volunteering to go, because you love me enough to do that. I was thinking about the song that we sang, Were You There When They Crucified My Lord? And when they nailed him to the tree and all that. In a way, we were there. Not physically. But I believe when Jesus died on the cross, he knew every human being who was going to die, who was going to sin. And in a sense, was not all the sin of all of time, of all of us, in Christ at that point. So in a sense, you were there. As I was sitting thinking about it, I was there. I nailed to the tree. I'm the one for whom he gave up his spirit. But I'm also the one for whom he was raised again. We'll talk about that next Sunday. But I want to think today about the fact of how much he died voluntarily for us. Secondly, Jesus died for everyone. Jesus died for everyone. The Scripture says, but we see him who is made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Everyone. It's important to recognize that when Jesus died, he died for every human being who would ever exist from the from the beginning of Adam and Eve to whenever the world is over, all people. There's some who don't quite agree with that. But as I read the scripture, what did that passage I just read said? By the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Not everyone receives it. But he died for them anyway. The grace of God is extended to every human being. And I'm glad that it doesn't matter what my background is, Jesus died for me. It doesn't matter how bad a sinner I may have been, Jesus still died for me. It doesn't matter what other ethnic background or whatever that he died. He died for me. Aren't you glad God didn't pick out a class of people and say, I'm going to die just for them? So you and I see people, and we read about people who are very cruel, but did Jesus die for them too? Can he change them if they allow him to do so? I think he can take a man named Paul who was killing Christians and transform him into a servant of God. He can do that for anybody else too. And so I thank you for the cross, because when he died for everyone. I didn't put it on your notes, but John 6:37, Jesus says, come unto me, that those who come to me I will in no wise cast out. I will not reject you. Aren't you glad that because of the death of Jesus Christ, he's saying anybody, anywhere, anytime can come. And of course, the earlier we come to him, the better off we are. Because you got more life to live for him and more time to serve him. But can a person who's on the deathbed, about ready to die, can they be born again in the split seconds prior to leaving this world? And all their sin be forgiven and they go home to be with Jesus. Everyone, sometimes we would say, well, they don't deserve it. But you know, I didn't deserve it either. So I'm grateful today for the cross of Christ, the crucifixion. He died voluntarily. He died for everyone. And that meant me too. He didn't select anybody particularly. So thank you, Lord, for the cross. The third thing is, Jesus died to make eternal salvation possible. Jesus died to make eternal salvation possible. It says, well, when Christ appeared as a high priest of good things to come, and by the way, there's a lot of good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not to the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Jesus, through the perfect tabernacle of the Father, the offering, the place of worship, he took his own blood. We're familiar with that, I'm sure. Because in the Old Testament times, they offered sacrifices of animals. Birds or sheep or goats or cattle or other things were offered to the Lord. And their blood was shed. And that was a way that they received forgiveness for their sins by the offering of those animals. But the Bible says Jesus didn't do that. He didn't take someone else's or something else's blood, but he took his own. He offered himself and his blood to make eternal salvation possible. Why did he offer his blood? Why didn't he offer some other blood? Why didn't he offer an animal blood or something else or some? Why did he offer his blood? Because his blood was the only pure, perfect, sinless blood that could pay for our sins on a permanent basis. The scripture that I read said, he entered the holy place having obtained eternal redemption. Not while I'm here on earth only, not when I die only, but eternal redemption. I know there's some disagreement about how about some of these thoughts. But as I read Scripture, if you've been born again in the Spirit of God, you're His forever. You're not His for a short term. Because when He saves you, where does He come to live? Inside you. And if you can't be saved for eternity, that means He's going to pull Himself out somehow. Because He's the eternal one who lives in you. And if you belong to the eternal one, you got eternal life because He lives in you. Not because you got some system, not because you did a bunch of stuff. But because the Son of God who died on that cross, when you receive Him, says, I died to give you eternal salvation. John 3:16, which you know says He gave His only begotten Son that if we believe in Him, we would not perish, but have what? Everlasting. If it doesn't go forever, it's not everlasting. If you can lose it, it's not everlasting. Because you don't save yourself in the first place. It's the blood of Christ. So you didn't save yourself, so you can't kick yourself out because you never got yourself in the first place. I understand there are others who disagree with me on that, but that's okay. But this says He obtained eternal redemption. Folks, when you look at the cross, celebrate the fact that He did it. Eternal salvation. I'm glad to know that no matter what comes my way, from the day I was saved at 14 years old to the day this body ceases to function, I'm a child of God then, all the way through, and when I leave this world, I'm a child of God, and I'm going to go home to be with Jesus. I know that to be true because I have an eternal Savior who lives inside my heart and life, and He has promised to never leave me nor to forsake me. Thank You for the cross, the Jesus who died to make eternal salvation possible. It said, not through the blood, but through His own blood, His perfect, pure, sinless blood. He gave me eternal salvation. The next area is Christ died once for all. I like the scripture that we know about and we were reminded of this week. It's on your notes. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, what did He say? It is finished. And He bowed His head. Huh, I made a typo. And gave up His spirit. I'm grateful that when Jesus Christ died on that cross, He finished all it took for us to be born again to know God forever. I believe that when He said it is finished, it not only meant He was getting ready to die, but He's saying, I did what I came to do. I came to die on the cross to bring salvation to the human race for all who believe in Me. And when He said that, when He died, He said, I've done it. Father, I finished what I came to do. And it is final. It is complete. Once for all. You don't have to repeat it again, the perfect one. On the other side of your notes, another scripture that relates to that. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of good things to come, He entered into the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, not to the blood of goats and calves, but His own blood entered the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption, which I read earlier. Eternal redemption. But through His own blood. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad He didn't leave you anything to do? To be born again, to know Christ as Savior and Lord, He didn't leave you anything to do except to receive what He's already done. He didn't say, now, I've done this and this and this, but you've got to finish it by doing this and this and this. There's some people who tell us that. You can't be saved unless you do all the good stuff. No. You're saved because you meet Jesus, and when you meet Jesus, you want to do the good stuff. But the good stuff doesn't get you to Jesus. But He died once for all, having obtained that eternal redemption for us. And I'm grateful today to know it's finished. It's finished. So I hope that as you think about the death of Jesus, I hope that this season you'll celebrate that death. Praise Him for that death. Praise Him for what He did. Now I'll look at some things that I think Jesus' death will motivate me to do. Jesus' death motivates me to, and I will suggest three things. One, receive Him as Savior. Receive Him as Savior. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Familiar verse. Well, you know something. While we were good people, while we were good neighbors, and we read our Bible, while we went to church services, is that what He said? No, there's another word in there. What's that word? While we were sinners. Anybody here been a sinner? Maybe the other way around. Anybody here not been a sinner? We've all sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. So He died for us when we didn't deserve it. And when you think about that, Him loving you enough, and while you were a sinner, you were lost, you were separated, your heart was separate from God, you were bound for eternity without God, you were headed for the wrath of God and hell itself. And Jesus died for you when you were in that condition. He loved you enough to do that. Why in the world wouldn't you want to receive Him into your life as Savior and Lord and say, come on in. You did that for me. I'll accept what you did for me. I receive you and I let you come and live in my heart and save me and forget, cleanse me of my sin. So when I think about how much He loved me, really begin to meditate on that. I want Him in my life. I want to ask Him to come and live in my heart as my Savior and my Lord. I've commented several times in the past, He doesn't just give us salvation. He gives us the Savior who is Jesus, who is salvation, okay? He doesn't give us salvation apart from Himself. He gives us Himself. And so when I think about that, it ought to motivate me. When I realize what Jesus did for me to say, okay, Lord, I've been living long enough without You. I want You in my heart and life today. I want to ask You to live in my soul and save me and make me Your child. I want to receive You as my Savior. When you think about how much He loved you, what He did for you on the cross. Next area is, it would motivate me to deny myself. To deny myself. When I think about how much He was willing to do and did do, not just willing, but actually carried it out. The Bible says that He totally, completely gave Himself for us. He did that for me. Why in the world can I give myself back to Him then? Why do I want to hold on to something for mine when He turned to loose everything for me and for you on that cross and He gave it all? Why in the world am I willing to say, okay, You loved me that much. Here, You can have me back. I don't know why you want me, but You can have me. I don't know whether that crosses your mind or not. I mentioned this before, but it's amazing to me that He knows in detail about my life and He says, I want you. You know, sometimes we don't want other people to know about who we are. We hide the real self sometimes because we figure if they really know us, they won't like us. Well, Jesus really knows you better than you know yourself. And He said, I want you. I want you. And so therefore, I say, God, help me to learn to deny myself in turn. Let me read the scripture passage. The first one says, for the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And He died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Think about that. He did all that for me. Now, everybody gets in on it, right? But can you not say He did it for me? Individually, personally, were you not one of those that when He died, I like the song, when He's on the cross, I was on His mind. He died for me. He gave Himself for me. Lord, I want to give myself back to You. I want to give up my own plans, my own goals, my own dreams, deny myself. That I might no longer live for myself, but for Him who died and rose again on my behalf. I want to give myself, Lord, fully as possible in this world for You, because You already gave Yourself for me. I want to learn to deny myself. Do you ever lose when you deny yourself? Now you think about it. The devil says, no, you don't want to give up that. You don't want to give this up for Jesus. Because if you do, you're going to miss out. That's a lie. Do you suppose the Apostle Paul said, I'm sorry, I denied myself? No. Do you suppose some of those who serve around this world who have been put in jail and all stuff and said they denied themselves, do they regret that? Never. Because you see, when we deny ourselves, when we give ourselves to Him, when we live for Him, we gain always. Someone said it, it's no fool who gives up what he can lose to gain what he can't lose. Jesus did it all for me. You and I will never, ever do anything equal to what He's done for us, no matter what we give up. Because we'll never have to die on a cross. We'll never have to pay for our sins. We will never be separated from the Father. We'll never experience the whole sin of the world like He did. Lord, You can have me. I want to learn to deny myself. The other passage talks about that. Jesus was saying, He was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for My sake, he is the one who will save it. It's interesting how Scripture sometimes seems to contradict itself, contradict human reasoning. Because this says if you die, you live, and if you hold on, you lose. I mean, our world says just the opposite. To deny myself. And so I'm saying, as I think about the cross, the crucifixion, we will never, ever, ever be asked to do what He did. And I'm glad that I don't. The Scripture passage says we've never resisted unto blood or in resisting against sin. We never had there. You know, sometimes I feel like, you know, this is hard. And this is difficult. And then when I stop and think about Jesus on the cross, and I say, this is nothing compared to what He did for me. So let's keep going. Let's quit moaning and groaning about what I've got to put up with and say, Lord, here I am. Take me, use me. I give up my plans. I give up my goals. I give up my dreams for Yours. Because in the long run, Yours are better than mine anyway. It may create difficulties. It may be things not easy, but it's worth it. So when I think about His death, it motivates me, I believe, to receive Him as Savior. Secondly, to learn to deny myself. Now, when I'm talking about denying myself, I would like, as I've commented before probably, I would like, as a guy, I guess, just get it done, over with, and finished. As somebody said, men want to shoot it, kill it, take it home and eat it. But it doesn't work that way, does it? Does self ever crop up after you initially come and say, Lord, I commit to You, I want to follow You? Does that self within you, that old flesh, does it ever come up again and try to raise its ugly head? And you got to say, Jesus, put this thing to death again and again and again. Denying myself, I think, is ongoing. So He said to take up my cross how often? Daily. And so I say, Lord, help me to deny myself, deny myself. When these things come up, the flesh rises its head. Help me to deny myself because You did it all anyway. The cross motivates me to deny myself. The last thing, Jesus' death motivates me to share Him. Motivates me to share Him. Aren't you proud of what He did for you? Aren't you grateful for who you are and what you have and where you're going and all the things in this world? You've had difficulties, yes, but aren't you glad you have Jesus? Why not talk about Him? I'm as guilty as the rest of you sometimes of just not saying much. When people ask me how I'm doing, I say, fine. When I say, Jesus, save me, and I'm going to heaven. Or Jesus in my life, and I'm enjoying life today. I think God, we had asked Jesus, when I think about it, He did all that for me. Why in the world can I talk about Him for? Why can't I say, this is who He is, this is what He's done? Not everybody's going to understand it. That's okay. Everybody didn't understand it back then. It'll never happen. Everybody does. But at least talk about Him. Share Him. And so I'm praying, God, motivate us as I think about Your death for me, that I'll be motivated to tell other people how wonderful He is. Because He is. The scripture that I listed on your notes has to do with an account where Jesus comes and heals a man which had demons in him. And if you remember the story in the scriptures, he lived in a graveyard because nobody else wanted him. He was so full of demons that they tried to tie him up, put chains on him. He'd just break them. The Bible says he was in the graveyard screaming. He couldn't keep his clothes on. And I'm sure he didn't have very many friends visiting him in the graveyard. But Jesus comes. And Jesus delivers him. Jesus casts those out into the pigs. And the one scripture says he was sitting clothed in his right mind because Jesus touched him. He wanted to go home. When Jesus got ready to leave, he wanted to go with Jesus. Do you understand why? Yeah. Read the scripture on the bottom of your notes. It talks about the end of that account. But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him, but he sent him away saying, return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you. So he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. He went home and began to tell people, this is what Jesus did for me. You suppose he had trouble convincing them of the change? Here he comes walking down the street. He's got all his clothes on. He's not yelling, screaming. This is, again, imagination. I've mentioned this probably before, but sort of my imagination. Here he comes walking down the street, and other people see him, and they go, but then they watch him. And they notice him. He's different. Finally, maybe they get close enough. He says, let me tell you what happened. A man named Jesus came where I was. A man named Jesus delivered me. I'll tell you about how great he is. Let me ask you, do you have any places in your life where a man named Jesus, who died on the cross for you, has touched you, has changed you, has done something in your life? What great things has he done for you? You can make a pretty good list. So why not talk about the one who loved you enough to die on the cross, to deliver you from your sins and your past, and to bring into your life all the things you've got? When I think about it, say, God, motivate me and motivate you to share Him with a world who needs to know there's somebody who loves them that much and will change their life. Because some of you have been transformed by the grace of God from a very rough past. Some of us got saved when we were not too bad. But I remember, and it dawned on me some time ago now. I remember a lady, Karen and I talked about her. We were at a meeting many years ago now. Irish Uri Blue had been a prostitute, had been all kinds of stuff. and Jesus had saved her. She had given her testimony about what God had delivered her from. But here's one thing I remember she said to us, having shared all that. She said it didn't take any more of the grace of God to save me than it did to save you. You were delivered as from as much sin as she was, or any other person you can name, no matter the Apostle Paul, whoever. It's the same grace, the same amount of grace that saved them, saved you. We just didn't have to do some of it. But it's still the testimony of what God has done when He saved us, made us His own, and a new creation in Christ Jesus. Let's tell about it. Because there's some other people need to know there is hope. And His name is Jesus. So as we celebrate the crucifixion, I hope it motivates you to receive Him if you've not received Him. I hope it motivates you to deny yourself. And I hope it motivates you and I to share Him. This is a good time to do it. People talking about Easter and all that. Let's talk about who He is. Let's bow together.